Now, back to the guys.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
There's nothing Drake may do that J.J. McCarthy can't. What you're looking for, 2 inches, an inch and a quarter, an inch and three quarters is the only difference in my book. It's not bad.
11 o'clock hour, Gresh and Fourier.
You'll never even notice that difference.
I don't know.
You'll never.
Dice on the text said, I think all us men will agree. Huge difference.
No, I don't think I need to hear from the men because I would like to hear from
the
other side.
You brought up projectors.
I did. Somehow meshed all those things
together. You did. You've done a hell of a job today.
It's been great.
Taking the first hour and throwing it all together today. Good morning to those of you watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Follow WEEI on Twitch. You can also get us on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, type in WEEI. Bingo bango, you can find the live stream and get us anywhere on the Odyssey app.
Doing a good job right now. Zeke's up there. He's got a lot of plays out there of Drake May.
Yeah, showing a lot of stuff. We're probably in trouble
throws.
For.
Real difficult throws.
Yeah, true. You know, I mean.
Hey, it's on YouTube.
We're just
going to
be real.
We can do it.
Exactly. Oh, sure. What the hell? It's lawless out there.
Ask for
no such thing as copyright.
Easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Even my little nephew, who will like make videos and put them on YouTube, will be like, "Yeah, I got to be careful. I don't want to get the strikes." I'm like, "You're 12. How do you know about this? It's amazing."
I think it's 3 strikes and they delete your channel or something.
That's exactly. He had it happened to him once. He figured it out real quick and then redid his channel and got everything moved over.
Start getting demonetized.
Thing. Well, listen. I mean, at some point when. When I have to build a podcast and video empire, I'm turning to that what will hopefully be an 18-year-old then, so that he can know all the technical whatnot. Or we're just waiting for Coop to go be a GM and then just hire us. And as we discussed,
that's what I'm hoping for.
That was a part of the Coop exit plan.
That's
was
what I'm hoping
we
for.
We were like, "Yeah, you take care
Where
of us
later." Where do you see yourself
on.
In 5 years? And just make sure I'm part of that.
Andrew Raycroft will be with us in 20 minutes from now to be able to break down everything Bruins related, and boy, there are a lot of questions there. I know that we're talking about clearly what Elliot Wolf said yesterday, little odds changes on who could end up being the number 2 pick, and could Jaden Daniels end up falling to the Patriots at number 3, and is that really what they want? Elliot Wolf yesterday talked about the number 3 pick, and is this what you're about to hear, ladies and gentlemen? For those who don't know, the word thirsty gets thrown around these days by the youngs. And whenever you see a scantily clad lady who will once in a while use the social media to put up some provocative pictures, is the thought of a thirst trap. Is what you're about to hear, ladies and gentlemen, the audio version of a thirst trap from a NFL GM.
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft. And, you know, we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and you know, strike, if the board kind of recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
You know what this feels like, Fourier?
I'll do it.
For those who are watching on Twitch, okay? And I got my hoodie zipped all the way up, right? Just envision that I'm about to be topless underneath here. And I'm exactly.
Ooh, hey, a little more.
Hey, you want to see it? Hey, I'm unzipping a little bit. Do you really? No, I don't know if I can show you.
Insert 2 more quarters to see the rest.
I don't know if I can show you, but you know what?
Please tip me.
You know what? I mean, later rounds? Oh, well, I can show you a little more for that. No, I don't know. I got to zip it back. No, that's what it feels like. Are you going to show me or are you not? Are you going to do it or are you not? This was the cry. This would be like the very first photo you would put up, full-blown bikini top to bottom, and be like, "Look at me." I almost want to go down the road of the whole Silvio and Seinfeld. Oh, Jerry Seinfeld, look at me, love me, hug me. There's a little bit of desperation I felt like from Elliot Wolf in that one. Yeah, hey, we're open and we're open for business in every round. You want me to get naked? I'll do it real quick for you.
then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
See, I was laughing about that because it seems like, okay, so dad left, son's running the store. I mean, I'll do it. I will do it. You want to see? What? I'll do it.
I will.
I'll do it.
I'll
dare
push
me.
Him.
Dare me again. Dare me three times. I will do it.
Is this what happened in Colorado before the draft? They dared you, yeah. And you jumped. They effed around and found out.
I'll pull
out.
The trigger. I'm not afraid to pull the trigger. You guys think I'm not afraid to pull the trigger? I'll pull it. I'll pull it twice, okay?
Doesn't this feel like the, hey, let me put it out there into the world. Let me see how people react to it. How many hearts do I get? How many likes do I get? How many clicks do I get on this from existing general managers in the NFL? Now, here's where I'm betwixt and between. So, remember when the Bruins, they lose the other night, and people aren't freaking out, but they didn't win the division. It left me a little hollow, but they played Toronto. I'm okay with that. So is Elliot Wolf really comfortable making the number three pick? Or is Elliot Wolf throwing this stuff out there because they don't have a trade partner? All this, I don't want to say all they've talked about, but I haven't heard another team in the NFL or another, like, I haven't heard from Adam Peters, the GM, just a tick above where the Patriots are. I haven't heard him talking about, boy, we can get a bag. What, a biggie bag? What, are you getting a $5 biggie bag or an $8 biggie bag? What kind of bag are you getting? Like, it sounds stupid. Oh, if we get a bag of picks, we'll be okay. It's like, come on.
Yeah, but what GM is watching the Patriots press conference and go, oh, guys, I didn't know. I just saw that Elliot Wolf said they were open to trading. They're open for business.
No, but that's the point. It's like, of course they're open for business. No one right now, it feels like, wants to conduct business with them. So let's put out the audio version of the thirst trap photo sitting poolside.
Okay, so that's – okay, so I think the telling line, a quote from yesterday, Nick, is the one where he talks about – comments on the quarterbacks as far as they feel like, as far as the quarterbacks coming out of the draft, they like all six of them.
The best thing is kind of hearing what their teammates say about them. They're both very well thought of by all their teammates. Obviously, Michigan has a ton of guys in the draft. North Carolina, not as many, but they still have some significant guys. And it's just hearing how impressive they are as teammates, as people, as leaders. And again, I know you singled out two of them. I would say that's been impressive. I think it's a unique year. I'd say that's been impressive with all six of these quarterbacks that are kind of the top guys.
Okay, that's what I think. It's a unique year. I don't – okay, if you think all six, the top six quarterbacks, the six quarterbacks that everybody's talking about, and Bo Nix never gets mentioned at all, but that's fine. If they think all six, let's just call it two through five, say – who, whatever you want to do, two through four, okay? Mm-hmm. Either way you want to run it. If they believe that those three are all the same, but they have different attributes and they have, but really, what is, if you feel like all three can run your team well at the same level and the upside is basically equal, what's going to lead, what do you need to see? What's going to convince you that one guy is your guy as opposed to the other guy being your guy?
Yeah, I don't think it's even the New England convincing themselves. I think that the Patriots are, there's a part of them that have already made their decision, and I'm firm on this. In the beginning, it was Marvin Harrison Jr. for me. Now, everything they've told us, even that verbal mud butt from Elliot Wolf, that's what that is, verbal mud butt. We're supposed to believe that he's got all six that are, you know, just this far apart when everybody's been talking about Caleb Williams as this, that, and the other. It feels like there are six guys that people are trying to jam into the first round because that's all we hear about is guys in the back end, draft them for the extra year. It's now part of the narrative. I don't believe that dung from Elliot Wolf.
Okay,
that,
so good. So you don't believe it.
That I don't think McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Penix, they're in a different group than the top three guys.
I think it's a really unique year.
Really? How's it different from 2021? I'll wait.
Why do you think J.J. McCarthy is a better prospect than Michael Penix? Or
Well, age. Age, injury, performance. Yes, and one's a lefty, one's a righty.
Yeah, and let these.
No, I can. Yeah, appendix would be the one that you can be. You can quibble with a lot because there's a lot to sort of nitpick there, but there's a lot to like. I think with Bo Nix, it's working against him that he's 24 years old and has played in a couple of different systems.
Not near. He doesn't have the measurables that the other guys
and
do
that,
either.
There's that. And then there's McCarthy, where McCarthy is kind of in this no man's land where he doesn't blow you away physically, but he's not falling behind. But you haven't seen it a ton on film, but he's won a bunch of games. And it feels like McCarthy is almost in like his own sort of purgatory because someone might see him as a top 10 and someone might see him as the 32nd pick.
Yeah, when I think of guys like Mark Sanchez who got drafted in the first round, I think about how basic they were and how their play was elevated based on the fact that he went to USC and, you know, he had a lot of talent. Even his own head coach was like, you should probably stay in school another year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's on a really, really good team with a great defense. And he's just tasked with not messing it up. And they get the AFC Championship two years in a row. Okay, and then when all those things are removed and he doesn't have all the support that he used to have, he becomes a below-average quarterback, which is what he always was to begin with.
The Patriots screwed up the propaganda on the number 3 pick from the beginning. They've let it out early that it's quarterback. I have no reason to believe they're going to go back on that. I don't think they're going to get enticed by J.J. McCarthy, and I will still hold true unless you and I on Friday morning in Detroit, we are from where we're broadcasting from, I'll sit there and be like, I was wrong, because I'm convinced the other two teams in front of New England are picking their quarterback for them, plain and simple. Whomever's there, they'll just take them. And that, to me, is a part of the line from Elliott Wolf yesterday. Well, if I lump them together, then wherever I draft them, I try to deflect whatever sort of criticism there would be of the pick. They've all been in on this from the very beginning. I gave up on Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison would be a great pick. Great pick. And, yeah, you have Jacoby Brissett, average quarterback. Put him with a great wide receiver. Maybe he gets 1,200 yards this year.
I'm telling you, if I was to put some money, if I was able to – I guess we could do this. Like, I would, I'm still set with them moving out of that third pick. I have them trading out of it. I do. I feel like not that it's necessarily a smokescreen, because I do think they jumped, like, Mayo jumped on it quick.
Well, that Dill Pickleson 66 in the Twitch is like, how are you so convinced the first thing was true was everything else was a lie? Well, because they ran into it. Whee! Let's go run right into the ocean. And then, the water's really cold. Oh, crap. We got to turn around. We're getting some shrinkage here. We got to turn around and go back the other way. No, it felt like it wasn't, how can we have an organized strategy to try to pump up the value of this pick as much as possible? I cannot believe we have not heard guys like Elliott Wolf pump up Marvin Harrison. Not because they're going to draft the guy, but because create the value. Fake your love for him. Make people think, damn, they're really in on this guy at number 3. And then you hope that someone says, I want Harrison bad too. Maybe I can move up there. Because it doesn't seem like the top 3 quarterbacks right now are drumming up enough interest for somebody to jump in there. So if you're really interested in the quarterback, they should have been diverting interest already. But again, it was ding dong, the witch is dead. Bill's gone. Let's name Mayo. Here we go. And that's why I've been critical of Dill Pickleson. Sorry. They could have handled the propaganda of this way differently.
Do women know about shrinkage?
And here's the other thing, too. When the owner at the owner's meetings ends a statement with, I would like us to get a top flight quarterback. Again, why am I supposed to believe the other stuff if Thunder is saying it publicly? Andrew Raycroft next. Bridget's ready to trend.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Red Sox lost to the Guardians 5-4 yesterday afternoon. The Red Sox now sit at 10-10 on the year as they head to Pittsburgh to play the Pirates. Rafael Devers was diagnosed with a bone bruise to his knee after getting imaging done yesterday. He is not expected to go on the IL. Brian Baio will get the start for the Sox today opposite The Pirates' Quinn Priester first pitch with Joe Castagne and Lou Maloney is at 6:40 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. And don't forget to tune in to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. That starts at 5:40 with Rich Keefe. It's NHL playoff eve, and the Bruins and the Maple Leafs begin their first-round matchup tomorrow night. Puck drop at the Garden will be at 8 p.m. Johnny Beecher and Mason Lori were called up this morning from Providence. There'll be options for the Game 1 lineup. And just now coming out of practice, Swayman took the first reps and in net, according to our own Scott McLaughlin. The NBA's play-in tournament wraps up tonight. The Heat play the Bulls at 7 p.m. Jimmy Butler will miss tonight's game with an MCL sprain. The Celtics await the winner as they start their first round series on Saturday at 1 p.m. I'm Bridget Prue, and that's what's trending now.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Fourier with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEEI.
Huck it talk. Huck it talk. Huck it talk.
In the movies, go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
We've seen Fourier on skates before, so all of the talk is nonsense.
They're dinosaurs. They know how to, like, survive.
I got to shout out Razor. That donut's for him.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Hockey talk. Let's welcome in all the honkies for the hockey talk.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
Part honky here.
Part honky. Half, sorry, two honkies and a half talking hockey on the Harbor One Hotline. Here's Andrew Razor Raycroft of Nesson. That's a hell of an intro,
Super honky Andrew Raycroft. You get extra points for being a honky from Canada.
Well, no, he is a honky hoser.
Oh, he's a double H.
Oh.
Wow.
Is that mega insulting, Razor?
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. So no, I'm not insulted. I don't even understand.
We have to get Razor to watch. I don't know if they had the Jeffersons on Nickelodeon up there because they invented the show. You can't do that on television. Have you been green slimed, Razor?
No, I never got slimed, fortunately. But certainly watched that as a kid.
Me too.
As much as I possibly could.
Love it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did.
Now there's like this whole expose now on that show.
Well, I mean.
I know. You didn't want to be on that. I thought we wanted to be there when we were kids, but I don't think we wanted to be on that show.
Yeah, careful what you wish for.
80s and 90s were a wild time, yeah. If you hear you're a Disney star, make sure the checks don't bounce. Anyway, so Razor, we know it is Toronto, and I want to start with this. I was conflicted the other night because the Bruins didn't finish it off to win the division yet. I'm happy they're playing Toronto. I almost kind of feel like I'm feeding into what is a loser's mentality. So am I right to just kind of feel that way? Is it a weird situation, or can you talk me off the ledge a little bit of not feeling so verklempt about the way the season ended?
No, I think I think Toronto, from my opinion, I thought Toronto was going to be harder than Tampa. So I if that helps you, I think just simple. This is a simple stat that kind of explains why and or at least why you shouldn't feel, because I don't think the Bruins intentionally did anything. Like there's no way. I've never been around somewhere a team that did. The Toronto Maple Leafs are fifth in the NHL in 5-on-5 scoring, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are 25th. So, like, the Leafs are. Leafs got more points. I think there's a lot of different areas where they're a better hockey team than Tampa. So we knew this first round was going to be very difficult no matter who they played. And whether it's Tampa or Toronto, people doing interviews like this right now, they're saying the same thing. It would have been hard playing Florida or Boston, and we just have to do our best.
So, Racer, which team is more tormented by their past? Like Gresh was talking about the Bruins last year, or just the overall failures that Toronto has had against the Bruins overall?
I'm not sure. I think we'll see. I think at the end of this round, we'll know. I think it's hard to say now, just because, and it's a huge because, is we're not seeing Patrice Bergeron play for the first time in 20 years in a playoff series, and we're not seeing David Krejci for the first time in 15 years. And I think that changes both the narrative for the Bruins and for the Leafs. You could see how Austin Matthews would be, you know, feel a little better centering up against, not against, Patrice Bergeron. But the Bruins have an opportunity and the leadership of this have an opportunity to continue that and make their own mental hurdles for other teams. And I look forward to seeing them rise to that occasion.
Yeah, Reyes, I was thinking, you mentioned a bunch of names, like especially for the Bruins. So, I mean, how contentious can it be? I'm just curious. I haven't looked at the rosters, the roster of Toronto probably as much as you have, but how many guys are kind of aware and still around on each team for that kind of understand the rivalry, especially in the postseason? I mean, is it like a lot of guys still around?
No, not really, but it's all the main guys. So the least five big players, Nylander, Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and Riley are the five guys that were here in 19. So they know firsthand. I think two of those players have gotten much better. One of those players is kind of the same, and two of those players have gotten worse since 19. So I think it kind of like levels out with their offensive capabilities. I think they're a more mature group. I think their best player, Austin Matthews, has gotten better at his 200-foot game. I think he's harder to play against. I think he's going to be more of a handful this series than what he was in 19. But that all being said, everyone else is different, and I don't think that kind of history. I think more the recent regular season history is a problem for the Leafs in that the Bruins just match up really well. We know there's some teams that play a certain style that make it harder on other teams, and I think that's what the Bruins do between their goaltending and defensive structure makes it a little harder from the Leafs and gets them out of their comfort zone just a little bit.
Our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft of Nesson and, of course, here at WEEI with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Speaking of Toronto, if you're the Toronto coach, Sheldon Keefe, among the great Keefes in the world, like Rich Keefe here at WEEI, but anyway, how do you reverse the results of the regular season?
Well, that's what he's losing sleep over right now.
What would be the one correction that he almost has to try to even this up a little bit, considering the Bruins have leaned on Toronto all regular season?
Yeah, they have to play a harder neutral zone game, and they have to stay out of the penalty box. The last game where the Bruins won 4-1, they got into penalty trouble early. The Bruins got the lead, and they just can't chase against this Bruins team. It's really difficult to come from behind. And even they came two goals down in the Garden in the first game. They played at the Garden, but still lost in overtime or a shootout. I think the Leafs have to focus on their starts and getting to their game as soon as possible. And how they do that is just getting pucks deep. They cannot turn pucks over. They cannot try and make plays. They have to be very, very simple. And I think that's what's hard for them to do at times. They have world-class players that want to play and want to move the puck, and they have a hard time staying patient offensively, and I think that's where the Bruins have been able to capitalize in recent years and this season.
So we're talking to Andrew Razor Raycroft, the Razor. So, the goalie situation, obviously, it is what it is. But I'm curious if you look at past games and to try to draw some sort of indication of who is actually going to start? Do you look at Swayman against Toronto? Do you look at Allmark against Toronto? I mean, or does it even matter? Like, if Swayman had a good outing and was successful against Toronto, do you say, all right, this guy is comfortable playing against them? Like, this is this sweet spot. Do you start him, or does it even matter?
No, I think it matters a little bit. I think certainly the success that Swayman had against the Leafs this season has to come into play. It has to be part of the protein shake that the Bruins are putting together for their goaltender.
There you go. And slide it in there.
Good callback, Razor. So, great callback.
So I do, like, again, we heard and from Montgomery that Allmark kind of had the inside track, and because of his play the last 6 weeks, I think that gap might have tightened a little bit because it's the Leafs, and you could see either one of those goaltenders now in the first round and make a case for the reason why either one of them starts this tomorrow night.
Yeah, because I was even thinking, like, because I know baseball players or for specific reasons. Hitters like certain ballparks, and I know some basketball players. Like, listen, I just always play good in this gym. I don't know what it is, but man, I can see the hoop so well. Like when I'm at this gym, is it? Did you ever have a place or a team that you played against an arena where he's like, wow, this is my sweet spot. Love playing here.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I didn't have enough sweet spots. I would have played a little bit longer had I had those sweet spots. But, no, it would, like, if I'm Swayman, Jeremy Swayman, and I played against this team and had that, like, I have a lot of positive vibes in my head. I have a lot of early positive thoughts. Of course, positive thoughts don't win hockey games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but they certainly help. And they certainly relax you, and they certainly put you in a good place physically, mentally. So I think that it's you don't have – let's not like put the hay in the barn because of it, but it is something there, and any player is looking for an edge, and that should give Swayman an edge because of his success this season.
Andrew Razor Raycroft with Gresh and Fourier breaking down. Bruins getting ready to start their series against Toronto on Saturday night. Judging by the lines at practice today, Razor, Lindholm, McAvoy, top D pair once again. Is it locked in that's the way Jim Montgomery will at least go into game one with Lindholm and McAvoy together?
I'm trying to figure out what these lineups mean, if it matters today, if it doesn't matter. I'm certainly not, I think everyone at Warrior is in Patriot Way mode where you're not getting the real truth. And if you hear something that's supposed to be the truth, probably look 180 degrees the other way. I think yes, if I was in charge, I would have McAvoy and Lindholm together, at least at home. You have the matchup, you have last change.
Mm-hmm.
You can really dictate. You have him up against Matthews. And what's going to be interesting, if it stays a 5-on-5 game, but if it goes to power play and you have Shattenkirk on the first unit, that's another minute that McAvoy gets to rest, and then you can deploy him for the extra minute 5-on-5. So I would put them together, yes, and I would put them together for the Matthews line, and I would put them on at least 55% of the time against the Tavares line, the second line as well. Like you can envision McAvoy and Lindholm playing 21 minutes of even strength time and having both of those top two lines 90% of the time.
Well, I know that's what I was going to follow up and ask you was do you pair them up at home but split them up on the road?
I could see where they get split up a little bit more. There's going to be defensive zone situations or offensive zone where you get them both out there, but you can also see a scenario where they get up in a game and you basically piggyback them. So one of them's on the ice the second half of a game on the road in different situations. So I think we'll see a lot of quick changes, but I do think at home you can pair them. On the road, you'll see a little bit more of one in, one out.
So Bridget has a question for you. Do you guys know each other, by the way?
We have a show
yeah,
together.
We go way back.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. Oh, let's see how natural of a fit this is.
It's almost like you were supposed to call in.
That was Razor's fault, by the way. It was Razor's fault.
Don't fall for it.
It was Razor's fault showing up late. And since Bridget was here and you guys are, do a show, I was like, oh, let Bridget jump in here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know how to, like, push Razor's buttons now.
Ooh.
Fourier's good at it.
Yep.
But I know that the one thing Razor hates talking about is the goalie rotation.
He's uncomfortable with it because he was a goalie, though, right? He doesn't want to play favorites.
And he is not budging on his opinion.
Which is what?
Go ahead, Razor.
Well, no, I don't think that it'll be I'm very serious, I'm very focused.
You can't
on the
even
fact
spit
that
it out.
No, I know. That's why I'm so like, yeah, it's exhausting. I do not believe that there will be a goalie that plays game one, game three, game five, and game seven. I do not see a strict rotation. It sounds impossible to do to me. We'll probably see both goaltenders. I think we'll see all four goaltenders in the first 3.5 games of this series. I think both goalies and both coaches are going to go to the other guy at some point. I just don't see it being one-on, one-off for the Bruins. I'm not like it has been in the regular season. It's just there's so many circumstances that don't allow that to happen.
What are your expectations for what Pat Maroon can add to this group?
Well, this matchup, especially, good thing you have him, because now Ryan Reeves can't be the bully of the series. He cannot run around. Like, both of these guys, Reeves and Maroon, are going to level guys on the forecheck. Like, guys are going to get hit. That's what they're going to do. That's what they know they can do well, and that's how they're very effective, is pucks are going to go down into the corner, and Maroon's going to go in and level somebody, and it's going to be a Leaf defenseman, and you're going to have to peel him off the board. So that's and he's going to offset Ryan Reeves' ability to do it too much on the other side. So those guys offset in the physicality part. I think what we saw in just the two games that he played, he's very good down low. He's very smart. He's very experienced. He's good on the boards. He's good in front of the net. He gets a lot of respect out on the ice. He gets a lot of room because he's a big man, and guys don't want to challenge him. So I think he becomes a really big, important piece of this puzzle, especially against the Leafs team.
All right, Fourier, do you want to ask any betting questions of Razor, or are you gut feeling it?
Gut feeling it for this series?
For this series or whatever. I didn't know if there was anything that the Fourier Bet Network was on that you might want to run by Razor.
No, my question to Razor would be is, what do they do for? What do the Bruins do to accomplish? Is there anything that
like
you go...
Like a sweep?
Well, it doesn't have to be a team thing. It could be an individual. Like, is Pastrnak a do for, like, a two-goal game? Like, you know, like, is...
Somebody about to break out.
Yeah, who's due, Razor?
Oh, okay. Well, no, I actually understand the question, too. I'm with you on this wavelength. I was with you before you even had to read. So, my first do is Jeremy Swayman and Linus Allmark, individually, collectively, are way too good to have lost three first-round series in a row. That's my first take. I just both of these guys recognize they have to win. You don't want to go too long without winning playoff series in the NHL. It kind of starts to roll. And these guys are too good. They're just too good to lose three first-round series in a row. So I feel good about that do. The other do is Trent Frederick. Trent Frederick, 0 points in the playoffs. Wasn't tremendous last season. I think he is a huge piece of this, and I think he gets going offensively.
It's interesting that the Bruins for the series are only at -125. It feels like with the way things have gone in the regular season, that number might be a little higher. But that's why we get to break it all down with our buddy Razor, because whatever we don't understand – we turn to our resident goalie with us on the Harbor One Hotline. What are the marching orders for you, Razor? Like, what does it look like now? I know y'all got one more round, and then after that, you're just studio Razor at that point.
He gets iced out.
Correctamundo. So we've got the first round, and then second round will be still on Nesson pre and post intermissions, but we will not have the game. So we go to the desk for hopefully another three series, ideally. But, first things first, we'll be the Garden. I'm sure the Garden will be well lubed by 8:20 tomorrow night.
It'll be electric.
It'll be quite interesting. Get there early, folks.
I love it. Razor, thank you, buddy. I so look forward to talking with you during this playoff run. Thanks a bunch, pal. Have a great weekend.
You too, gang. Enjoy the games.
All right.
There
we
go. There goes Andrew Razor Raycroft on the Harbor One Hotline.
He should be joining us on Monday as well. Just so you know. So we're going to have the game on Saturday. We'll get a recap of that and then a preview of Monday's game.
Oh, really?
If somebody tell Razor.
And in the,
why don't we just have him come to studio for 4 hours?
Well, and in
that too.
And in the meantime, the hockey show will be on Sunday. With
yeah,
Bridget
the hockey show. That's what it's called.
Yeah, hockey show.
You should just call it Hockey Talk. Call it Hockey Talk for one Sunday, and I'll be there the entire show.
It is the Sunday Skate, I
there
do believe.
There we go.
Correct? There you go.
Yes.
I was trying to convince Fourier that it's just called Hockey Show, so that way he would go with it.
What's
you know,
not
like
a bad
hockey
name?
Talk?
That's already what he calls it.
Hockey Talk.
I mean, now that he knows it exists.
I am a P1. Well, that was a T. I was
sure it was.
It was sure. He you up.
He was definitely wasn't in the talk back. But hey, do you guys know each other?
And by the way, I could totally hear him in the talk back too, because I'm in the middle of talking to Razor, and he's like, "Hey, do you guys know each other?" Damn it. That your talkback voice is the loud, same as your on-air loud, voice.
The same way. Yeah, exactly. I'm pressing the stupid button.
It's
coming over the air on Gresh's mic.
You can, like, hear it in there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The only person that couldn't hear it was me, who he was trying to talk to.
That is true. Well,
do you even have headphones on?
Yeah, I do.
Those headphones don't connect to the talkback.
Oh.
They only go to my ear.
Why?
I'm talking to her and you're hearing it. Yeah. Translating?
Why would
that work?
Why would both producers need to hear the talent when they're talking to someone in the
with the special button to Bridget over there?
Yeah, we're just nodding to her. And gestures. God.
You know what I'm going to do for now on? I'm going to hold up a sign. Be like, Bridget, do we have this? Since you can't hear us. Holy crap. The lunchtime parlay, we hit again. And now Fourier's level of recklessness is going to go to another level. However, you want to hear about today's parlay next.
This is Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
All right, time for the lunchtime parlay presented by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WEEI. Another winner yesterday. Caveats, though. The Cubs-Marlins game got rained out, so that turned into a no bet for Nick. Billy had the Giants. I had the Red Sox-Guardians under 9.5. Now, I got in on that earlier. And by game time, it was 8.5. In fact, Chris 1955 in the Twitch chat says he got it down at Sportsbook Rhode Island or at Bally's at the Winda, and it was down to 8.5, and it went to 9. So if you went on the under 9.5, you were okay. If you took it at 8.5 on the under on a cold day, you got screwed. And, of course, the pitching and the defense didn't help and all that as well. So some might be winners, some might be losers, but we're doing our part here on the Gresh and Fourier program to be able to get everybody paid. So with yesterday's win, instead of the full $190, you won about $70. It was $68 and change. So our earnings to this point on the parlay, Fourier, $306.61.
Wow.
We are up. So you know what that means, folks. I'm just giving you a little advance warning. Although I will say, you got to take big chances to make big money. And here with the first of today's parlay picks, big money, Christian Fourier.
It's real easy. I tried to make this bet yesterday, but didn't realize that the game is tonight. So Sacramento traveling to play New Orleans. De'Aaron Fox, first field goal of the game. Now, the last time I took this bet, I picked Jaylen Brown first field goal.
And it almost happened.
He just had to make the stupid shot.
Rimmed out.
Okay, he was wide open. It rimmed out. So I'm going to do it again. House money, baby. House money. Let it ride. Let it ride. No whammies. No whammies. Love it. Let's go.
Oh, I didn't know what you were doing over there.
I didn't really know how to end it.
Oh, no.
It stopped.
It was more of the you started playing dice after a while or something. Or whatever that was. Flog the Nick, what do you got?
Well, my game got postponed yesterday, but I'm going back to the well because literally the exact same scenario today. It's James Taillon and AJ Puck, and the Marlins are terrible on the road. The Cubs are really good at home, so give me the Cubs on the run line today against the Marlins.
All right, I'm going to make Billy's pick for him once again, and I'm going to go towards like a Billy lean. I'm not going with a block party, but I am going to go to a triple-double. How about Nikola Jokic, game one, triple-double against the Lakers, plus 120?
Wow.
I'll take that. By the way, LeBron's triple-double, plus 700. That was enticing. I almost threw it in there, but yeah.
No way.
So Jokic is plus 120 for a triple-double against the Lakers. And then I'm going to go with Orlando on the money line to win game one. I like Orlando to win this series, and in fact, are you looking for a sneaky little bet there? Go with Orlando plus 160 to win the series. I know they're plus 160 for game one. But there's some value out there to be had on Orlando and winning this series. I think they go to Cleveland and get game one, so I'll just take them on the money line. So that is plus 160. Jokic for a triple-double's plus 120. with the Cubs on the run line from Nick. We're at plus 114 and De'Aaron Fox first field goal plus 600. So, folks, are you sitting down?
Over $1.2 trillion.
So your $10
holy cow,
on this bet could win you, ladies and gentlemen, $856.85. So that means if you just wanted to bet a dollar, you would still win about $85. So a couple different ways to be able to wager this one. In terms of the lunchtime parlay, we'll get that out on social media. Gresh Fauria, WEEI on Twitter /X. And, of course, you can get us on Instagram, Gresh and Fauria. Spell the A-N-D in between our last names. Let's talk about errors and balks and mishaps with our friend Louis Merlone. We'll do some Red Sox next.
You're listening to Gresh and Fauria on WEEI.